joining the podcast, a new band I just discovered, and they're new to me, and they're pretty new in general also, but this band, you guys are blowing me away. I'm just gonna tell you that right now, and I've been trying to introduce you guys to a lot of my friends that like similar music as me. And the band I'm talking about right now is a band called Wings of Steel. I have lead vocalist Leo and guitarist Parker joining the podcast. Thanks, guys, for joining.
Thanks for having us, man. Yeah,
thanks for having
good
us
to be
on,
here.
Man. Yeah, man. Like I said, I literally discovered you guys last week when you dropped the new album, the full-length album. And, man, I honestly have not stopped listening to it. My family is probably really thankful for that because I've been playing it a lot. And I definitely want to get into that. You also had the EP that you put out not too long ago. But you guys, I mean, you guys are a pretty new band. And to have this much material out in this short period of time is pretty cool. For one, because you guys are on a record label, which we'll obviously get to. But so you have that freedom to do that. And anyways, I'm blown away by your music. I'm kind of a fanboy at this point. So... or a fan, old guy. I'm not really a boy, but old guy fan. But Leo and Parker, Leo, you're not even from America. Where are you originally from?
So I grew up in Stockholm, Sweden.
And
that's where I'm from originally.
What brought you to America eventually?
So it was music related. Mm-hmm. I turned 21, proper age to move out to LA, right?
Right.
So I discovered this this music school in Los Angeles that I wanted to attend. So I just put all my eggs in that basket and I kind of took off from there.
Was your family pretty supportive of that decision? Is this something you've been wanting to do pretty much your whole life?
Yeah, I mean, my family's always been super supportive in me doing what it is that I want to do. And so it came as no surprise, seeing as, you know, I was already doing music and stuff like that. So yeah, but totally, man. They've always been super supportive.
Is that kind of a challenge also because you're not a citizen here in America? Do you have to do like a work visa? How does that kind of work out?
That's probably one of our, you know, biggest challenges. The fact that I kind of have to come here with a tourist visa, which means I can stay for 90 days, which means we haul ass when I'm here.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. To get everything done that we need to. So yeah, that is kind of a pain in the ass, but we get around it to the best of our ability, and hopefully it won't stay that way for too long.
I hope so. Yeah, because I know that will present challenges, and especially if you guys want to play shows and do stuff in the U.S. But Parker, where did you grow up? What area are you from?
So I grew up actually right here in Thousand Oaks, California.
Okay.
It's basically just outside L.A. If you're not from here, I just say L.A. But yeah, yeah. So.
I think people that are not from that area, I'm not from that area, but everyone kind of, there's so many different areas that we don't know about. I'm on the East Coast area, and L.A. is just kind of sums it up, so I totally understand.
Yeah, it's all L.A., you know.
Right, the whole state of California.
Yeah.
Right, so I want to ask you individually, Leo, I could start with you, but what was your influence? What was like the first stuff that you were really get into, and then I guess influenced you musically?
I was definitely born into it in a sense that, one of my first memories is sitting on my dad's shoulders and we're rocking these blues records on vinyl at home in the living room. So that's kind of where it started for me. And from there on out, it started playing a little bit of guitar. I got into vocals in my teens. But some of the bands that got to me, I mean, growing up, like I said, was a lot of blues. And then during my teen years, I got a lot more into the 70s hard rock stuff, which translates great from the old blues. And also the whole hair metal era mm-hmm. during the 80s. You know, you got those bands in the hair era, which is like, you know, Great White, mm-hmm. Dokken, all those guys. And mm-hmm. in the 70s, it was a lot of like, you know, Paul Rogers with Free and Deep Purple, Zeppelin, all those guys. And then it wasn't until a little bit later I really got into the new wave of British heavy metal, which kind of fused that heavy metal spark. And with them, obviously, you got Priest, Maiden, all those guys. But I think one of the biggest artists for me throughout that has shaped me a little bit has been Dio, for sure, throughout his entire career, from the early stuff with Elf to his own thing in Black Sabbath, Rainbow.
Did you watch that recent documentary?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I watched that
That was good.
It's sick, man.
That was really, yeah, I really enjoyed that. And Parker, with you, what as an influence was guitar the first thing you got into, or did was there anything before that and then you got into it? Were you playing
So
trumpet in
actually,
band?
yes and no. So when I was I always had something, even when I was like a real little kid, where I was like, the guitar is like really cool, and I had like these little cheapo like nylon acoustic guitars that I would just like strum the shit out of and like just play around with as a little kid. So when I was 8 years old, I discovered the song Separate Ways by Journey, and then like my musical thing just like, my life all made sense. But actually, so when I discovered that song, I was like, okay, so I really need to play some music, and what should I just, and so I tried to play piano, and I was just like, fuck this, I don't like it, it's too regimented and whatever. And then when I was about 10 years old, I discovered the band Metallica, and I was like, oh, I need to go and learn how to play guitar. And then from there, I got Iron Maiden and the Scorpions and Dokken and all these great bands. And from there, it's basically blossomed into my musical tastes as they are now. But yeah, I mean, I think if we're fast forward a little bit, but when me and Leo met, our kind of musical tastes and interests, it's not a very there's still a large group among our kind of generation, but it's definitely not the popular thing. I didn't really grow up with anybody in school who was into the same stuff I was, but I mean, even at the music school that we met, we're the two rocker dudes who were hanging out and going there. So we're like, oh yeah, we're gonna start a band. But yeah, I guess to name some bigger names, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Blue Murder, Whitesnake, Dio, Rainbow, John Norum. I mean, yeah, it's a long list. You can't really name everything, but yeah.
And they change every time someone asks too.
Yeah.
It's okay. I totally understand as a musician, I'm the same way. So, when did you actually start? What age did you start playing guitar? Because I mean, you guys are still pretty young. I mean, you guys are what, your mid-20s?
Yeah, I'm 21, he's 26.
Okay.
But I started taking lessons when I was about 10 years old, and then it was kind of off and on. I worked with a teacher for a little bit, and then I went and did my own thing, and then worked with another teacher. But yeah, so I guess I've been at it for about 11 years now. So.
Yeah, I mean, you people that will listen to the album or watch your stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt, man. You're a very super talented guitarist,
Thank you,
and
man.
I think a lot of people, hopefully, they will discover you guys and learn that. But for you're a lot younger than I realized you were, and to be that talented, man, I hate to be you, poor guy. It sucks, I'm sure. But a fun little question I just want to ask you, like, who was your first concert, Parker? What was your first real concert you got to go see your band?
I mean, I've seen some small little local shows and cover bands and stuff like that, but the first big concert I actually saw was supposed to be Motley Crue's last concert back in 2015.
Yeah.
So that was him, and then Alice Cooper. But yeah. So that was like my first like big show that I went to, and I was like, whoa.
Alice puts on a good show. I just saw him for
Oh
the
yeah.
first time
Oh
last
yeah.
year.
He was
And
great.
how about you, Leo? Anything out there? Or did you have to wait till something came out there? I'm sure that's a little different.
Yeah, it was a little bit different for me growing up, because I was born and raised in Stockholm. When I was 7 years old, my family, we relocated to this island southeast of mainland Sweden called Gotland.
Oh, wow.
And it's a pretty small ass island, so there weren't any big bands coming out to play a show there. And before then, I hadn't really gone and seen any huge ones. But I do remember one time at this like soccer arena we had on that island that teams would come and play. Europe, the band Europe came over and they played. They're from Sweden, so that was
Yeah.
probably the first bigger band I saw. But other than that, it took a little while. I went to see Brian Downey's Alive and Dangerous doing the Thin Lizzy thing, because I was a huge fan of Thin Lizzy. So that was probably the first like bigger thing that I went to.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question for both of you guys to answer. You could go see a band any point, anytime. I mean, they obviously, it could be a band that's not even around. It's, like Queen, Freddie Mercury, or someone. you could go see that dream concert, or maybe you have seen it. Who would you want to see?
Dio 1977 with the Rainbow.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, there's a lot. Steve, Got Hard with Steve Lee would be great too any year, but yeah, anything with Dio. Anything with Dio.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think it'd be awesome to go to like one of the first big like Van Halen shows. That was like a thing on its own. But yeah, I would say like Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell, that era would be sick.
Of Blue Murder 1989.
That'd be
That
cool.
tour would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot, but
It's funny that a lot of people don't mention Blue Murder. I think that first album's pretty good. The Carmine's on there, right? Carmine Appice, or however he says his name. Vinny Appice, Carmine, both awesome drummers. But yeah, I think that's a good album. I think vocally and everything on that album is really, really good. So you don't
Yeah,
hear that
and
one too
then
often.
him, Tony Franklin, and John Sykes. John Sykes is big influence for both me and Parker. John Sykes
Okay.
is obviously a guitar player, but I listen to a tremendous amount of Whitesnake with David Coverdale, which was one of my great influences as well. And especially that 1987 album, which John Sykes actually wrote a lot of the tunes for. So, and when we actually met for the first time and really started talking, Blue Murder was like the first band that we both mentioned. We're just like, oh fuck, you know who those guys
It's
are,
like,
man?
hey
It's
man,
crazy,
yeah.
dude. You know who Blue Murder is? All right, let's start a band.
Got
Right. That's
those
all it
guys.
took.
Thank you for that.
Well, let's kind of go to that. You guys mentioned meeting at the school. Were you both attending for were you just attending for guitar and vocals, or I mean, how's that work when you get into that? Is that something you have to audition to get in that school too?
I mean, it's just pretty much they have different programs for whatever instrument you're doing. So I was going through the guitar one, he was going through the vocal one.
Okay.
It's pretty much it.
How soon after that you guys are actually there that you meet?
Let's see. I started like a few months before Leo did, but I think I was there for maybe about 6 months, something like
Were
that.
you guys currently in a band or anything before that, or were you guys both kind of on your own and looking to do something?
Well, I mean, we've both played in our fair share of other various local bands and stuff like that. I think, yeah, at that time I was playing with a couple other people, but
Yeah, I was also in another band when I first moved out to LA. It's funny, I had that lined up as I was moving out. That felt like a dream, but it didn't work out anyways. But yeah, right around the time where I decided to part ways with that band, we kind of just got in touch and it worked out.
Leo, I want to ask you, because it's like I've listened to your voice and I'm trying to pinpoint, like, this sounds like something I've heard. Do people say, when they say you sound like this, what's the most common one? Is there so not that you want to sound maybe like someone exactly, but is there someone
Yeah,
people say they re that you
I
remind them of?
think a lot of people they mention Queensryche with Yartsey,
Well,
and then
yeah, I said that. Yeah, I got that vibe.
yeah, then I've heard TNT a lot. Tony Parnell. What else?
Midnight from Crimson Glory, Halford, Dickinson.
Yeah, those are
I
far
mean,
out.
it's, I get it because there's notes of
Well, you
both
have a
those
range,
vocalists.
yeah.
Both those vocalists and both those like bands, they have little influences. And I mean, a lot of times too, when people hear our music, they'll they base what we sound off based what they're familiar with and what they're. So a lot of people who come across Wings of Steel, they're really into Queensryche and Crimson Glory and stuff like that.
And they're
So they
great
go,
bands, you know?
yeah. From us, it's like, well, we like those bands, whether or not they're as huge of an influence on us as people say it's another thing, but yeah,
I think it's funny because with Jeff Tate especially, I think that's a fun comparison because we use a similar technique when it comes to singing. We both have pretty clean voices when we sing, and the thing I like so much about him, I guess now that I think about it, is that he's very expressive on top of his vocal, just like Dio, which I said is probably my biggest influence. So that's probably where I get it from. But Jeff Tate is very expressive. He will always be crying out at the end of the notes and putting a lot of emotion behind it. So I guess that's the thing we have in common because I try
I
to always
definitely
express this story,
get that from what you're saying, how you explain that with your voice. I mean, you definitely have a heck of a range, and it's a uniqueness, it's a unique voice. It's unique listening to it. at times I almost hear, and this may sound crazy, Layne Staley a little bit at
Yeah, we've heard
times.
that before too.
So, and you kind of look similar to him in a way back in his early days with long hair. But you guys meet, and how soon do you guys get to writing music? I mean, who does write? How do you contribute each to writing also for your stuff? But when, how soon do you start writing, I guess, after you meet?
I mean, it was pretty much right when we met. We just started writing stuff.
There were a couple of classes at MI where there were like projects we do where you would collaborate with other students to come up with a certain type of song, genre, the storyline, and stuff like that. We did a couple of those.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty much like, we met 2019. And then the whole lockdown 2020. I mean, by the time we hit that point, we already had like 7, 8 tracks. But we just decided, like, you know what? We're stuck inside and we're here. Like, let's just hammer it out and just write as much as we can. And pretty much the EP is just it's basically the songs we took from that era. And we just said, okay, let's just pick these five. We can, put the other ones on the shelf, use them later, maybe not, but yeah.
When did you guys record the EP? What year was that? Was it around the whole fun COVID year, or was it after
Yeah, that
that?
was basically 2021 was pretty much when we did all the recording for that.
What were you guys doing during 2020? Where, I mean, because obviously with everything going on, all that
We were
crazy
just
crap.
hanging out here at my parents' place writing music.
Hell yeah, man, having fun writing music.
So another cool thing on that is so here my parents' house was built, the house itself was built in like the early 60s, like this track around like the whole Cuban Missile Crisis or whatever. So supposedly some of the houses on the street, they were built with like an actual like bomb shelter. My parents renovated the house around like 2006 or something like that, and the previous owner basically just put some dirt on top of it and left it there, but they didn't even know we had one. So they dug it out and they cleaned everything out, and then it's just been sitting there. And then fast forward to 2020, and me and Leo are like, all right, we need a place to record our stuff because we were living in Hollywood at the time. You can't record anything with the
Walls are super thin.
So we went down there, we put some foam on the walls and got it all treated, and now we have a bomb shelter to write some heavy metal music in,
Hell yeah, that's talking.
Yeah, that's definitely, I saw that with you guys in your bio, and there's probably no other bands that are doing that, obviously. So
We make contributions to the sound,
what do you actually record? Is any of that stuff that you recorded down there wind up on the albums?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Pretty much everything except for the space isn't big enough to record drums, so we have to go into the
Yeah.
studio and do the drums, but
But
everything
if it
else,
was, then probably we'd have the chance.
yeah.
Probably.
Well, that's another thing I want to throw out there is that for you guys being an independent band, your production sounds way better than most bands that are on labels. And I don't know if you are you guys self-producing your stuff, or do you have someone you bring in, or you know, how's that working out? Because I mean, obviously it's working out well.
I mean, I guess it's how you define production. I didn't really make this connection until I was talking with the guy who does our mix. But I guess, I mean, we basically produce everything. So we go and we record everything and we make sure everything's done exactly the way we want it to. Then we send it over to our guy who does our mix and master. It's Damien Renaud. He does like Dragon Force and Fear Factory. But yeah, so we send it to him. He does a do a couple mixes. We're like, okay, tweak this, turn this up, turn this down, do all that, and then it's done.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things we do know what we're going for, but it's very hard to describe. And this guy, he understands what we mean when we're going back and forth, and that's how we end up with
Well,
it.
it's definitely
Mixing is,
translating.
yeah, I mean, mixing is a skill in and of itself. So we know what we want in the mix, but we don't have that 20 years or whatever of experience, huge board, all the gear and everything. So we have Damien do all that, but
We have it solved.
what kind of stuff are you guys recording with? What kind of gear? What, I mean, you don't have to break down everything, but what's kind of the setup for your
I'll go
studio?
first because it's literally one thing. I use an SM7B microphone. Okay, Parker.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down. What was that again? No. Let me
And
write
then
that
for
down.
For all the guitars, I basically I record everything through an AxeFX, which is basically a different amp thing where I can control all the different amp and all the different cabinet and all this stuff. And then so I record that sound directly in here, and then I also record a direct input from the guitar. And then so on the album, what I'll do is me and Damien will meet up, and then we'll go. We ran it through like Mesa Boogie Mark IV, and then we put like a we had a cabinet with I think V, it was greenbacks, two greenbacks, two V30s, and then we put 57 on each, and that's the guitar tone for the album.
What do you use, like with the computer, like Pro Tools, or is there a certain one you guys prefer?
Logic Pro.
Logic Pro.
Logic Pro, yeah.
And then for guitars, I mean, I know it's a podcast, but I got I could show you my just Jackson's pretty much Jackson Soloist. I have two main ones that I use. On the album, there's some parts where I borrowed a buddy's Les Paul Custom and then a Strat for a couple things, but it's pretty much entirely just those two Jacksons that I have. They're all modded up with different pickups and hardware and all that stuff, but yeah, nothing too crazy out
Nothing
there.
too crazy. I mean, I use a stand where I put the lyrics on, you know.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
think.
we'll have to really break you down, Leo. All that stuff you just threw at us there. Mic stand. Okay.
But
I think, you know, fundamentally, it's all just about, you know, taking whatever we have to us that we like that allows us to deliver the best performance that we can. You know, we were never, neither one of us are really too big into all the gear and everything like that. We're just
I
like, we
mean, well,
want something that.
it's sounding great. I mean, it's at this point, the year that we're in and this where we're at now, don't have to be in a big studio anymore. You could do exactly what you're doing. And like I said, seriously, your production sounds amazing. It's very impressive. So you guys are killing it with that, and with your guy that's mixing and mastering all this stuff. Yeah, he's killing it, man. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, thanks, man.
The other thing I wanted to ask was, after the EP is released, what year was that? 21 when the EP is released
It came
officially,
out
or
on
22?
March 11th, 2022.
Okay. What kind of response did you guys get? Was it immediate, or has it been kind of a slow build?
I would say it's been more of a slow build. I mean, I think if you look at like the direct thing about what people are saying, everything, it's been like almost alarmingly positive. But the thing is that it's been a gradual thing where we get more and more people talking about it. And I mean, it makes sense because from the EP, we basically started from ground zero.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Pretty much everyone who's come across it has been, like I said, positively surprised. But the big issue being independent and starting from scratch is exposure, you know. So it's been a gradual thing, but we can tell by the drop of our latest album now that it just kind of amplified a lot as soon as we put that out and exceeded
Yeah,
any expectations that we
yeah,
had, really.
it's been a week and it's already blown us away, the response. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I know you guys have talked about this in another interview I can listen to, but the whole, as we mentioned, record label situation. And I'm sure you've been approached since the EP about record label, but most of the times you hear from bands about record labels, it's not a positive thing, because they obviously want a percentage. They want all these rights. They want to control a majority of stuff. And I heard from your interview that obviously you want to be in control of your direction and what you're going to do, and don't want to release that. And of course that makes sense. How has that kind of been going with record labels, I'm sure, approaching you and what you are looking for if it were to happen?
To put it short, I think it's pretty simple because we know very well what it is that we want, and we make sure that that's the first thing we mention. If they can't live up to that, that's pretty much it, you know.
I mean, it's, you know, we live in a day and age now where you don't need a big label
Yeah, you're
for
right.
people to be able to hear your music all around the world. And I think that just turns the entire industry on its head. I think really The thing is that I'm not going to sit here and tell you that being with the label is advantageous, because it is, because these people are, they basically control the infrastructure in the industry. They can get you on a big tour, they can put you on the radio, they can do all the stuff for your exposure. But the thing is too is that the more we've been at this, the more we've been able to build that up on our own. And I mean, the thing is, when you sign a label, you're basically putting your career in that label's hands. So unless you really trust who you're working with and what you're gaining from giving up those freedoms is going to ultimately benefit you and your band, according to your terms, then it really doesn't make any sense to do it. I will say something that we are currently working with is not a full on like label deal, but we're basically we're working out different deals with different distributors and labels and people who can basically manufacture our physical copy around the world, because we have huge audience basically everywhere. And unless you're in the US, it's really expensive to buy our physical stuff. So from that regard, we are looking to work with labels, but in terms of having them take over our rights and do all that stuff, it's very not really something that's in our horizons right now.
And I think too, because we can see the way that things are developing, that it is working out the way we're going about it ourselves. Sure, we have to put in a lot of hours, but it's building, it's working. So in that sense, like, why should we have to sacrifice this if we can at the end, do it ourselves?
Sounds like you guys want to take it as far as you can possibly, and hopefully you'll keep being successful and not have to rely on the label and what they might be able to
Absolutely.
do.
It's a great learning experience, absolutely.
And I will say one more important factor on that topic is that in terms of our own creative freedom and to be the band that we choose to be, the thing is, the label could be a huge thing that could go against that. So like a big I mean, this comes from not just labels we've talked to, but fans. It's like, if you look at our music, there's a very we have a lot of different styles of stuff happening. And I think it's because we have a lot to say, and we like to write whatever music we write. But I mean, just to give you like a hypothetical, if we signed with certain label, they could very well and tell us, okay, the song Wings of Steel on your EP, we want the entire album to sound like that song. I'm not necessarily saying that would be a bad thing and it would be a bad business move or anything like that, but that goes against our creative freedom to basically deliver Wings of Steel as true and as how it's supposed to be done. And that's very, very important to us.
Are you guys self-managing also, or do you have a manager that's taking care of trying to book you guys, or is that just something you guys are always also taking care of yourself?
We're doing it all ourselves, man. We are the manager, we are everything.
Well, I know that's, I'm sure that's, hopefully in a way that you guys might have to reach out to other people because it is getting overwhelming for you because it is becoming more successful. And I could definitely see that and hope for that to be the case with you guys to keep growing. And I know you've had some shows, and what was your official first show that you guys had? When was that?
So that was last year,
September 23rd,
September 23rd,
2022, at the
2022.
Whiskey a Go-Go.
How'd that go? How was that experience for you?
That was absolutely great. I mean, a lot of people came out, and the fact that was the first time we're on the stage together, like we do some shows at school and stuff, but
As Wings of Steel.
as
We
Wings.
played before Barrett too many times, but as Wings of Steel.
And it's cool too, because we wrote all these songs, and it's always such a trip the first time you go and you play a release, because you're not sure how the songs will sound live yourself, and you're standing there. Well, apart from the rehearsal space, of course, and then you're standing there and you get that reaction, and it's exactly why we do what we do, So we did all this stuff coming up to our first show, and you really start reaping the rewards of it when you're playing live.
That's what it's when you're a kid and you're thinking about, growing up being a musician, man. You think about being on stage and
You don't think
fucking
about all the logistics and
delivery and
business
stuff.
bullshit stuff,
Yeah,
man. You don't think
exactly.
about all the fucking business
Fucking
bullshit.
snakes in the grass.
No, man. You think about going up on stage and kicking some ass, man. So that's always that's always gonna be a great thing, and it's always a good time, you know.
How many shows have you guys had so far that you've played live?
It's funny because we've only played
Twice.
two shows together is what we played, and given that fact, the response live too is just absolutely amazing. And we got another show coming up July 5th at the Whiskey Go-Go again, which is gonna be the last show here for this year, and we're expecting a great show there as well.
Yeah, and later I do want to mention that you guys were put on a bill for, is it I guess a festival? Is that would it be deemed a festival or just a kind of
Yeah,
a Keep It
concert?
True, Germany 2024.
Keep It True
Yeah,
Festival, Germany. Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Coming
And I want to bring that up
show.
here in a minute. Going back, it's kind of funny that you guys have only played, like you said, a couple shows. But how soon after the or how many? I guess I was going to ask with the. Now the full length album, were you guys pretty prepared with that, with songs and coming off the EP, or were you? Did you have like a handful of songs you were like, we didn't use that on EP, let's use it on the full length, or did you write a whole bunch of fresh new songs that you're like, okay, these are better, let's use these?
We still had material left over from the EP for sure, but the thing is too is we found that every single song we wrote just kept getting like better and better, and that was always the best thing we did. And so we decided that I would come back out to the US for 10 weeks and we would write 10 bangers, and that's exactly what ended up happening.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure.
Do you guys have any leftover songs, or did you exactly do 10 songs for the
That
album? You're
was
like,
exactly 10. We
wow.
just barely made it. We finished the last one, and then I took him to the
Yeah,
airport, and he was
literally
out of
same day.
here.
That's I mean, and literally there's no filler songs on this album, in my opinion. They're all really, really good, man. And that's I mean, it shows what a talented songwriters you guys are, and to be able to do that, because not every album he comes out you're like, yeah, this song kind of sucks, I might skip it. But you guys
I think
really
that's a thing too, because we could have used material from the EP, but what we also like to do is we like to put out material that is fresh at that point in time where we're at with with my voice, with this guitar playing, where we're at in life, because it translates to all the songs and it creates that one unity in the album.
I mean,
And the new
that's not to say like, we still have great stuff that we've written in the past, and like we're totally there's a very very good chance that some of that stuff will resurface in future releases,
Yeah,
but
we're live.
or yeah, and or both, but yeah, I think that when you're writing a song, it's almost like it's not quite like a diary, but it's like reflective of where you're at in life at a certain time. And I think, in terms of writing stuff that's like, it comes from your soul, it's inspired and everything. Like I think that's really like a great way to go about it, because it translates. You can feel the energy in the song, and I think that's what really does it.
Yeah,
And
and
I
the more
think
time you guys are together, the tighter you're getting, the more you bond, and you're working better. And plus, every time you write a new song, you're like, oh, I love this new song, I want to use that instead of the old song. I mean, everything, you're like, this is better than the last one. So I totally understand that vibe. The new album, well, actually, let me mention this too, because you guys have used for both album covers the same kind of setup. Okay, I don't know my horses and Pegasus and unicorns. Are those actually, would you say those are Pegasus? Is that what those are? I don't
Nah,
know, the
man,
wings.
they are stallions with steel wings or something.
Wings of steel on those horses. But I think I saw Parker, you came up with the rough draft that is very rough.
Oh, you still have it?
I saw the picture.
Somewhere in here, man.
Yeah, and I
Oh,
wish if
man.
people could see it, because I
We'll
saw it
send you
on
a
a,
picture, man. We'll
yeah, I'll
send
have
you
to post it, because
a picture.
it's beautiful, man. It's like painting that should
It
be
came
in
out
any
looking a
place.
little better, just a little
Yeah, but I
bit.
saw that you guys actually had, was it a tattoo artist create that design that you came up with?
Yes,
Our tattoo artist,
our friend, Mr. Spencer Caligiuri.
it
He's
looks
actually
awesome.
not. He did all. I mean, you guys
Your
would see it,
tattoo,
but
yeah, he,
did
yeah,
all this stuff that I have
tattoo
on
piece.
here. Yeah, he's fucking excellent, man. He's
Yeah,
excellent.
I love it. It's so good. This is really going to make you guys feel awesome. My stepmom likes it. I shot.
Oh, hell
I posted some on Facebook. She's like, I love that picture. I'm like, okay, thanks.
All right.
I wasn't expecting that one.
You can get three generations in one family.
Yeah. Well, I have my 6-year-old sitting next to me, and I've been introducing him to your music too. I've been forcing him to listen to it. So I'm actually,
thank you, Monday.
Yeah, he's into music. So I think he likes it, man. We're going to go see Kiss for the first time for both of us later this year. So we're pretty excited about that kind of stuff. And if you guys ever come to the East Coast, hopefully we'll get to see you too. You know, I'm sure I'll get to be backstage and all that fun stuff with you. But anyways, yeah, the new album, Gates of Twilight, correct? Is the name of the new album.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you have 10 songs on there, 10 great songs. So you kind of mentioned earlier from the EP, now you're saying you're seeing a lot more attention come since the album's been out, just not even... Well, a week, yeah. Today's Friday, so it's been a week.
Yep.
Back celebrating 1 week.
You know, what's funny, the way I discovered you was I stream Apple iTunes, and I'll always go there because they kind of know what I... It kind of generates what you like, and then it'll say new music and show you some bands I've never heard of. And I'm always wanting to discover new music. I love it, man. It's like, it's just a passion to find something new and really dig into it. And then, like I said, some stuff, it's not that great, but I just happened to... you guys were in that little section for new music to check out of like 5 or 6 bands. And I'm telling you, I'm blown away. Like I told you, and that was how I was introduced to you guys. It's just funny how that just randomly popped up. But is there any other way that people are saying they're discovering you guys? And Is there anything been in particular that's working for you guys to get your name out there?
Well, that's really cool you discovered us that way, because that's actually... I mean, I'm sure it's happened before, but that's like the first we've heard about somebody discovering us like organically from Apple Music. So that's really cool. But I think the main drivers of attention that I think bring people into the band is we have 2 music videos now. Last year we put up the Wings of Steel video, and that was pretty much the most like viewed thing we've ever done as a band. So we picked up a lot of people there. We put out a Leather and Lace music video with the release of the album. That's picked us up some attention. And then there's this great, great YouTube channel by the name of New Wave Traditional Heavy Metal Full Albums.
Shout out to those guys.
Yes, sure. Mr. Anderson, man, he's excellent.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm. But so they posted our EP on there last year,
mm-hmm.
And that was a huge thing for building our audience. And we, you know, a lot of new people discovered us through there. And then they also posted our album.
And you know what's so great about our fans? They have all these heavy metal friends that they talk to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole word of mouth thing has been huge for us.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's as soon as I heard you guys, you know, I got my, you know, little reach that I have through the internet and through the Imaginary Music podcast Facebook page, but also just my personal page. And I posted them both, and I'm sure you saw it, but I'm like, you guys are serious. I know I had one friend said I ordered it. I ordered the CD, and it makes me happy because I want your music to continue, and I want you guys to be successful, because I'm selfishly want to hear more music from you guys, and I want to, you know, eventually maybe see you guys live or whatever it might be. Because I mean, you guys are seriously one of the best bands I've heard in years. Like the best, the last thing I could think of was when Witherfall with their debut album came out. I don't know if you're familiar with Witherfall. But when their debut album came out, I was just blown away. That's been maybe 5 years ago or whatever, just maybe longer. And you guys come out, I'm like, man, I'm getting chill bumps every song. You know, first time I listened to it, I literally got chill bumps. And I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt just because you're on the show. I'm being very honest with you. It's, you know, I'm a musician, and you know, something I did for many, many years was trying to make it as a musician. I didn't do it, you know, it didn't happen. That passion is there, but the passion to discover new music when it's really good, man, it just hits you. And that's what you guys did for me. And I'm hoping it does the same for a lot of other people. And I hope a lot of people, you know, get to discover you and kind of have that. I know everyone has different tastes, and it's hard to please everybody, but You know, that's what's exciting, and it's been exciting discovering you guys just in the whole whopping week that I've discovered you, and also the privilege to get to have you on the show and talk to you guys. And you know, I want to go back to your band. I mean, are you guys, when you say Wings of Steel, is it technically you two, or I know you guys have recording musicians and guys that do play shows, or is it an official band, or is it really just the two of you guys?
That's a very, very interesting question. Basically, me and Leo basically run everything. And so we write all the music, we record everything pretty much. And
hire
then,
the people.
Yeah. So we have, on the album, we have Mr. Mike Mayhem playing the drums. And then for our live show, we have Mr. Stefan John Bailey on second guitar and Mr. Johnny Schenkel on the bass. But yeah, I mean, we pretty much run the show. But
Who played bass on the album? Was it you or did someone else?
I did all the bass and guitar.
I didn't realize that until you just kind of mentioned that since you said he plays shows. So, just another feather under your belt of talent, there. Leo, you're like, I played a little bit of the flute on this. No, I didn't. Tambourine, a little tambourine.
Next,
that was me.
Next album.
Yeah,
I had some cool narration in there.
No, trust me, your voice does enough. Trust me. So, how has things been, with this whole week going by? How has it been, just with response, I guess, from people? Has any new record labels reached out to you since the week has happened, saying, "Dude, this stuff's awesome. Let's talk."
Yeah, I mean, we've been approached by a lot of people this week. It's been a very hectic and crazy week, but we're very fortunate to be in the spot we are, because we had our first batch of CDs that we had here, and we got 500 of them, you know, because we figured based on the EP and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And man, we sold the shit out of them, man. They ran out in like 5 days, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Congrats. Yeah,
and people are reaching out, being, you know, super kind, and it's kind of unreal to mm-hmm. to even, you know, get those kinds of messages. And you say that, you know, it did stuff for you, and be able to be in a position where the music that comes from the right place touches someone else in mm-hmm. that same spot, mm-hmm. that's everything. That's why we do it. And yeah, no, it's been an excellent week, man. Yeah, we've been busy.
It's been crazy, man. Yeah. You know, we wake up, we start getting back to the emails, we box up all the orders and head on over to the post office, and just so much stuff. But I mean, it's a beautiful spot to be in. You know, we're watching the stallions fly, man.
That's exactly. I mean, eventually, you know, it will calm down a little bit. We're right after the release, but the good thing about that, as soon as that happens, well, goddamn, finally we'll get to go back to writing some music, which is, you know.
How long are you in the States for this time? Are you having to go back anytime soon?
Yes, so we're doing that show again on July 5th, and then 2 days after that, I'm on a plane out of here.
And when would you be able to come back? Do you have to file your proper paperwork? Is that how it works, or do you even know?
Yeah, well, I need the ESTA to fly, but that's valid for over a year. So basically, I just kind of have to touch base, and I could be on my way back. The TSA will probably give me some shit for it. Like, oh, you like the beach so much, you came back for another 3 months, you know?
Well, is your ultimate goal to become a U.S. citizen, or whatever it takes to be able to stay here and not have to deal with that?
I don't necessarily have any goals to become a U.S. citizen, but I would like to procure means of staying here for as long as I want, which more realistically would be via an artist visa.
Oh, okay.
I think that's basically whenever, I mean, if we're going to be here in the U.S. and we're going to go on tour and there's going to be like dollar signs involved, you need to have the proper paperwork and visa, because you don't want to fuck with that. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the, you know, we're going to do everything on the same way we do things until we have an opportunity to sponsor something like that. But the good news, too, is that if we're thinking about this in the live sense, you know, he can come over here and we can do the tour and write the music and whatever. And then I can go over there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
So
I didn't know if that was an option. So glad you answered that.
Yeah.
I did want to mention the YouTube thing, because you guys mentioned, I know you don't have a lot of content on there at the moment, If people do want to listen to your tracks, they're on there. Just, it's not video form. It's just, they can listen to music, but you, like you said, you do have the music to music videos. Is that something that you guys would like to have a little more presence with YouTube, in any kind of way, like behind the scene things or anything like that?
Yeah. The thing about music videos is we kind of base this on how the first one did, seeing as that was, well, that one was like the biggest thing we did all of last year. We wanted to do more music videos for this album. Mm-hmm. So we've actually recorded two. We only put out one.
And, got another one coming soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you allowed to say which song it's for?
We'll keep it a surprise.
Okay.
But it'll be cool. It's going to be, yeah, we're really excited for it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I didn't know if you felt like, not besides just doing music videos, if you felt like doing like behind the scene kind of stuff, just mm-hmm. everyday life for your YouTube channel, just even posting a video, a little tour of your bunker would be pretty cool to check out. I'd find that interesting.
Yeah, I think as soon as you do something like go on tour, stuff like that, you want to try and have a person with you who can get some behind the scenes mm-hmm. stuff. And of course, you can use that material for a music video as well. Combine that with some live footage, sync it up, and that's a pretty good video right there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we live in a very visual day and age, and like, you know, I think the more stuff you can have like that to help kind of put a face to the name and you know, to show the person behind the music, it's great. And I think that's part of the reason why music videos do so well, is because it adds that extra like visual component to it for people to kind of latch onto. But yeah, you know.
Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer, and I appreciate the time you given to me. I just have a few more questions if you don't care. Mm-hmm. One just being kind of, what do you foresee yourself doing right now at this point? Are you basically, is the goal to try to get shows first, get more comfortable and have that established, a live show, or is it to we'll play some of these spot shows and then we'll record another album, and then what kind of order of things are you wanting to do at this point?
Basically, what we want to do is next year spring, we're heading over to Europe, and we're gonna do shows for an amount of time there.
We have the Keep It True mm-hmm. festival booked, and we're based mm-hmm. right now. We're in the process of trying to book out a tour, or other festivals, other shows mm-hmm. Around that. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much
there's that, and then after that, we plan on getting working on more material, mm-hmm. and hopefully on the back of yet another release, we'd then be looking to do even more shows, potentially in the U.S., potentially in Europe, depending mm-hmm. on what happens. Kind
of. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, you got to play it by ear, and, you know, we have all of our factors involved, you know, the whole how long he can be over here. And, you know, we're also, you know, we're independent, so we fund everything, and, you know, touring, making a record, all this stuff, it takes a lot. But, you know, we try to do as much as we can with what we have. And yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like both your parents are pretty supportive of what you have going on. Leo, you mentioned earlier, but Parker, I guess, you know, they let you use their old bunker. I mean, that needs to be there in case a bomb comes around, right? No.
Right. We are the bomb, man.
Yeah, you're the bomb.
We wouldn't be able to do what we're doing if it weren't for. I mean, this roof here, like, you know, we'd be out on, we would not be able to
do it. We'd be out on our asses in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
So yeah, because some parents like, nope, you got to go get a real job. You need to go to college. So it's cool that your parents probably see your talent and are supportive of that and say, hey, yeah, you can stay here and do your thing and it's less bills.
Incredible blessing, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee yourself, I guess, because what you were just saying is it sounds like another album could be coming out by next year. Would that be the goal, possibly?
We would at least we would at a minimum get working on it next year. To say when it comes out, it's you know, it would either be, if according to how we have things thought out, it would probably either be the end of 2024 or sometime in 2025. It's not we can't really give too much further than a timeline on that, because we're not too sure how stuff's going to play out.
Has any promoter or bands I guess, gotten with you and said, hey, we might be interested in taking you guys out as a support group for this bigger band. Has anybody approached you with anything like that at this point?
That's always an option, and we have been talking with some people. We haven't quite gotten to that stage mm-hmm. yet, but we do feel like that is something that very well could happen. We're not banking anything on it. We're going to go about it the way we always go about it, but mm-hmm. that is always something that could happen, and we're very ready for that if it was.
I mean, that's for next year in Europe. That's basically if we can get on tour with somebody else around that festival date, that's pretty much the ideal scenario of things for us at this point.
I think you guys are going to have probably more success in Europe just because of how the fans and how they are as opposed to American fans, just from especially all the interviews I do and artists that have played Europe. And I think you're going to be very well accepted over there. So I'm looking forward to you guys getting to have that going on over there, and that, you know, you might become this great popular band in Europe as opposed to the in America, you know, because metal's not the biggest thing here. Unfortunately, crap music is, but that's just my opinion. But, you know, I think it's going to be awesome that you guys are going to get to go out there. And I did want to ask you, like you said, you're playing that, you said it's going to you're playing Keep It the True. Keep It True Festival. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny you posted that. And like, I know a band on there, which I mentioned was Sacred Warrior, which I'm sure you're not familiar with at all, because they're a Christian metal band from back in the day. Because I talked to a lot of these Christian rock metal bands that I grew up listening to, but I also talk to artists that are not tied in with Christian metal all the time, because you know, I want to have a broad audience and interviews. But Sacred Warrior, man, if you ever get a chance to check them out, I'm not going to say the lyrics are they're a little cheesy at times for Christian metal, so it is kind of funny. But their singer, in a way, it kind of reminds me of the stuff you guys do. That they're really, to me, they're a really good band, and that's cool. I saw them on there. I was like, holy crap, actually I recognize one of the bands besides you guys. So how did that come together? I mean, because was that pretty quickly someone approached you, or has it been the works?
We pretty much just got the offer to do it, and that was that, you know.
We've never been there to that festival, but just by looking at it, man, it seems like such a great mm-hmm. festival, such a great show.
Yeah, really, really, really great culture on it. A lot of our fans in Germany are like, we'll see you there. And it's like, yes, we get to meet these people, man.
Right. Because that's the whole thing. We want to get out to Europe and meet our fans there. Obviously, we want to do that in the U.S. as well. And since mm-hmm. we are a U.S.-based band, you would think that makes more sense. But you got to go where
you got to roll with what the opportunities are.
You can't limit yourself for sure. But that's really cool that happened. And like you said, you guys hopefully can play shows off of that festival and go out since you're already there, hopefully. But I know it's super challenging financially, doing all that stuff. It's especially you not having a label to finance anything and then rip you off and later want all that money back. But
I mean, it's funny because we do have to finance everything. Obviously, I've been going back to Sweden. I've been picking up a day job. You know, Parker's been doing the same just to get that extra injection of money. Mm-hmm. And it's all these gnarly ass fucking things that we would do.
You gotta tell me, what is like one of the silly jobs, not maybe silly but odd job that you guys
you got the winner, man.
Let me hear some of these jobs.
So I live on this island right in the Baltic Sea, and at winter it gets pretty rough, the weather that is.
And so I
signed up to be a news delivery guy, and what I didn't realize until I showed up the first day of work is that you go out on the goddamn bike.
You don't get a car.
No, you didn't even get a car, man. You get a fucking bike, and it's like icy roads. It's fucking, the wind's killing you. You get fucking frostbite and delivering these goddamn newspapers every morning.
Newspaper stuck to your hand while you're trying to throw it.
Yeah, like 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., you know.
Oh, and, that's brutal.
I do that 6 times a day, and then, you know, you fly over here and you haul ass here. It's two completely different worlds. And I feel like that even impacts a lot of the the lyrics and stuff like that.
Right.
Because everything feeds on itself, and
It's, the experience.
Yeah, it's
How about
kind of.
Parker? Any crazy jobs for
Well,
you?
mine's not that crazy, man. Me and
Yeah.
actually, it's funny. Actually, the drummer Mike, I know him because we both work at the same pizza place out here in Thousand Oaks. So it's a
Okay.
little less brutal than delivery
Yeah.
in the middle of the
You have
night.
climate control.
Yes.
Oh,
I
man.
do that, and then I work with a couple other local bands on the side. It
Well,
all just
hopefully you guys don't have to do that for much longer.
depends. We're hoping so.
I hope things take off very soon. And I'm definitely wanting to spread the word, and that's why I want you guys to be on the podcast, because I might have a little reach, but then someone else might hear it and they got to reach and they got to reach, and we're planting seeds everywhere for people to hopefully continue to grow the Wings of Steel legacy, and things take off and just keep going. I can say I had you guys on before you get on Eddie Trunk at some point, because that could be a good possibility, I'm sure. Eddie, I think, would love you guys from his taste of music, and I wouldn't be surprised one day you guys are, part of an interview with him. So you'll just
That'd be
remember,
cool.
like,
But it would be owing it all to you and like all the fans, because it's been such a wild ride. Everyone is so goddamn supportive, and it's really humbling, man. And the best thing we can do in order to give back is just to keep on trying to put more music out there. Get where we can as quick as we can, and
Yeah, I mean that's how it spreads, and this, I mean that's how we've gotten to where we are now. It's just, it's one guy, he tells his friends, and then it just keeps going, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see how all these little things, they go and they just keep growing and growing and growing. It's like it's so incredible.
That's it, and I hope it keeps going. Anything I could do, I'll definitely do. I'm going to put this link in the show, but if you could talk about it for the Bandcamp, where can people check out, anywhere they need to go? I know you have the merchandise. You got because I just ordered the XL shirt for the fat guy. So I ordered that, and I know you're out of some sizes right now. So are you guys restocking? I know you got the shirts, you got CDs. And there's nothing really else at this point, is there?
No. Well, first of all, thank you for your support.
No
I hope you
problem.
like the shirt. And we got the new shirts with the new album cover is coming in. They got shipped out to us today, actually.
Oh,
And
wow. I have to get one of those when they come out too.
we are awaiting our second batch of the Gates of Twilight albums right now. So you can still order, but you'll have to wait just like 2 weeks or something like that, maybe. And that's about it. We got the EP, we got the album. We'll have the merch for both the first and the second shirt with the albums. And
And like I said, I'll put that link on the show notes if anyone wants to check it. It's under Bandcamp. Do you know the actual things for those listening that are too lazy to go to my show notes?
I think it should you should be able to find it if you just go bandcamp.com dash wings of steel. It should pop up. I
Look
mean
for the
it's
stallions.
yeah
And plus, I
the, the
encourage everyone to go to your Facebook page too, because you do have a direct link to that if they want to
mm-hmm.
do it that way.
Yes. We try to put the link everywhere that we can, so it's as easy for people to get it. But
Any other future plans or anything we didn't talk about that that might be coming up, or any goals that you guys have going on, or just pretty much exactly what you said?
I
Didn't
mean
miss
that's
anything,
pretty much
right?
it, man. Yeah, well, you can never forget to enjoy yourself at the same time. Me and Parker, we're good friends, and with all this business hours we're putting into all the stuff that we do love, but it's still, make no mistake, a business. We also got to find some time to just hang out. So I think in terms of plans, that would be it.
For now, and it's all like, at this stage in the game, you can only see as far as you can see. There's a lot of stuff that it's gonna sort itself out, and we're gonna have to figure out. But yeah, I mean, pretty much, Europe or music video coming very soon. Europe next year, new album hopefully late 2024, early 2025, and then everything else that comes after that. That's pretty much the
A show July 5th for those in the LA area,
yes, at the
or if you want to
Mosquito
make
Dome
a
Tour.
long ass drive, that would also be okay.
Oh man, where is that show going to be at?
The Whiskey a Go-Go.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah, I'm just gonna I'll take a one of your horses off your shirt and fly it out there. No wings of
Perfect,
steel.
perfect. Oh, yeah.
I'll
Oh,
make
yeah.
it in no time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You guys, I appreciate you joining the podcast. And I always let my guests have the last word. Just if there's anything you want to put out to fans, new fans, anybody listening, I'll let you guys have it.
Well, again, I mean, I cannot thank you guys enough for the support. It's because of you that we're even on this podcast right now, and why we're able to make the plans we're making. Yeah, you guys continue to grow us, and we'll continue to put out the music, and hopefully one day we'll meet and we'll have a laugh and all be good.
Yeah, Pete. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are absolutely, absolutely incredible. Keep crank it up, tell your friends, man, and we're gonna keep delivering the wings of steel as best as we can. Action!